May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Every year in our house, sometime during Advent, we get out my grandmother's old nativity set. It's one of those old sets, maybe made in Italy, I'm not sure, where many of the characters are, I'm not even sure what they're made out of, but they're painted, but the ones that are broken, we can see it's almost like paper mache. I don't know exactly what it is. But it's beautiful, but it's very old. It's had a lot of wear. Some of the camels have had their legs set several times. A few of the angels' heads have been glued on more than once. But it is beautiful, and it's a big part of our own family's tradition. We set it up always in Advent with a cow and one of the donkeys around the stable. And we put the shepherds on a nearby hillside with their sheep. Well, it's really a nearby piece of furniture. And then, depending on how early in Advent we set it up, sometimes Mary and Joseph and the donkey are in another room altogether. But farthest away, of course, of all from the manger are the three wise men. They always start out far away from the stable, and we move them closer slowly as the days shorten into Christmas. And in fact, they just arrived at the stable today. Today is the Feast of the Epiphany, and only about once in every seven years does it fall on a Sunday. Depending on leap year, sometimes it might move around a little, but we usually don't get to celebrate Epiphany on a Sunday. And so unless you come to the evening service, you miss it. So it's a thrill for me this year to have Epiphany on a Sunday. What is it that draws us to the story of the three wise men? Well, theirs is a story that's shrouded in mystery and legend. Matthew doesn't even tell us there were three. There's no number attached. They were wise men from the east. We don't know exactly where they came from or how long they had to travel to find the infant king. Legend gives them a mighty caravan, many camels, and exotic gifts. And legend also gives them names. There's a wonderful piece by Ralph Vaughan Williams called Hodier. It's like a Christmas cantata into Epiphany. And his wife, Ursula von Williams, wrote the verses about the three kings. And this is what she wrote, and she included their names. From kingdoms of wisdom secret and far come Caspar, Melchior, Balthazar. They ride through time, they ride through night, led by the stars foretelling light. Crowning the skies, the star of morning, star of dayspring calls, lighting the stable and the broken walls where the prince lies. So I think it was St. Bede who gave us these names in the 600s, Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. And the hymn we just sang doesn't use their names, but each of them is connected up with one of the gifts. So there's a lot of things that are compelling about their story, but I think perhaps the most compelling is that these wise men, and we can assume that they were people of means, they were able to travel, they risked their lives, really, taking this pilgrimage, following a star in order to find the newborn king. Their story is full of drama, as Matthew tells us in the gospel from this morning. because as the wise men traveled to Jerusalem, they met Herod, a human king who would destroy anyone who threatened his power. And Herod tried to use the three wise men to find the child. Herod was frightened. He didn't want the Messiah to be born. He didn't want the king of the Jews to take his power. So he wanted the wise men to find the child so he could come and kill him. But they were warned in a dream, probably by an angel, maybe the same angel that announced to Mary that she was to have a child. And they listened to their dreams, and so they went home by another way. And so from the beginning, Christ's life was in danger. From the beginning, the forces of evil were in play. But Epiphany also tells us that from the very beginning, people from all lands, from far away, were drawn to the light of Christ. Epiphany means manifestation or showing, and it's about God revealing God's self to us. The star, the light of Christ, and the star was given for all people. And Christ brought light into a world of darkness, but the light was for all people. One of my favorite stories around the wise men and Epiphany is Amal and the Night Visitors. You may be familiar with that. It's a short opera by Giancarlo Menotti, and I think at one point it was shown on television. It's a wonderful story. Amal is a shepherd boy, but he is crippled. He has to walk, he has to use a crutch. He has a lot of energy, he has a great imagination, and he lives with his mother. It's just the two of them, so they're very poor. Amal is always telling tall tales. So one night, when he comes running to his mother with a tale about a star in the sky with a tail as long as a kite, she just scolds him. She doesn't believe him. And then the three kings come to their door, and Amal answers the door. Now, if she didn't believe about the star, do you think she's going to believe him when he says they're not one, not two, but there are three kings at their door? No, she doesn't believe him. But the kings finally come in and ask to stay overnight with this poor family. And so they do, and they bring in some of the gifts that they are bringing to this new king, and they talk about the king they are going to see. And some of the gifts include a big pile of gold. And Amal's mother can only think about how much good even just one little piece of that gold could do, how it could buy food and medicine. So she takes just one piece off the pile, and one of the servants catches her in the act. And there's a huge scene, and then Amal rushes in and defends his mother. And the kings come in, and they say this. They basically give the mother back the gold, and they say these words: "The king we seek doesn't need our gold. On love alone he will build his kingdom. His pierced hand will hold the scepter. Swifter than lightning, he will soon walk among us. He will bring us new life and receive our death. And the keys to his city belong to the poor." Well, Amal is so inspired by their vision of this newborn king that he knows he has to go with them and bring his own gift for the king. But what does he, a poor shepherd boy, have to offer? Suddenly, he knows. His crutch. His crutch so much a part of his life that it's like a part of his own body. Maybe the baby will need a crutch someday. So without even thinking, Amal gives away his only possession. And at that instant, he is healed. Suddenly, he can dance and run and play. And the mother is so grateful that she lets Amal make the pilgrimage with the three kings to the manger, to the Christ child, so that Amal can deliver the crutch himself. There is a great truth that is revealed in this story. The gift that the Christ child wants from us is not necessarily our greatness or even our gold. But the greatest gift that we have to offer is our very brokenness, our poverty, our crutch, whatever that may be. Whatever it is that keeps us poor in spirit, whatever it is that keeps us afraid to risk, afraid to love, afraid to give. That is the gift that the Holy Child waits for. Now, Epiphany is all about gifts. And in fact, in some parts of the world, Bert Catala was telling me this morning, in Spain, and I know in Ethiopia as well, in many places, Epiphany is when gifts are given. And actually, that makes more sense if you think about it, with the wise men bringing the gifts. And children will go to bed with some hay and water for the camels under their bed and some cookies for the wise men, and then wake up with the toys. It's all about the gifts of Epiphany, the gift that God gave to us, the Christ child, and then the gifts that we give back to God, that we offer of ourselves. And today, in a few minutes, we also have the gift of baptism. We will have the gift of baptizing Haley Ann Marie Roberts. She will be baptized with water. She will be sealed with the holy oil, the chrism, and be given a candle that symbolizes the light of Christ. And her spiritual journey in her life will be to become the person that God intends for her to be on this very day. In baptism, Haley will be given gifts by the Holy Spirit that she will have the opportunity to develop over a lifetime. The gifts that she will get are not gold and frankincense and myrrh, but gifts like an inquiring and discerning heart, the courage to will and to persevere, a spirit to know and to love God, and the gift of joy and wonder in all God's works. These and many other gifts God will give her and the Holy Spirit will give her in her baptism. And the gifts that God gives to each one of us in our baptism are not to be hoarded. They're not to be kept to ourselves. They're to be shared for the good of the world, so that the light of Christ that shines for us in Epiphany is also then to shine through us for others. Amen.
Amen.